you in the 06010.
Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
Hello and welcome to Fantasy Focus Football. Today's show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico, see all the ways that you could save. It is Thursday.
Yeah.
Thursday of week 16, December 22nd. Field, Mike Clay, and myself. No Stefania today.
Doubled up, triple D.
That's right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We got a bunch of updates, Field. A little bit of breaking news. Heard that yesterday was the most downloaded show ever in the history of Fantasy Focus.
The most hearted, the most loved show.
It's like no one ever commented more on it. No one had more social impressions than what we did yesterday.
And all positive?
All positive. Yep. So this is like when a new Frozen comes out, right?
That's
like everybody watches, right? It's okay. There's only been two or three Frozen so far.
Two. Come on,
but
man.
Like,
you should know this by now.
She's 11 months kid. Like I'm not quite
you
there.
You got to start your research. You got to start working.
I could literally.
You got to pre-watch.
I could put on a black and white silent film, and my daughter will be enthralled by it. So we're not quite to the level of
like a Jay and Silent Frozen. Bob. Is that what you mean by a silent film?
Hey-o, yeah.
So we have to do like Disney trivia now,
right?
Because like in 5-10 years, you're going to be able to just crush me and all the new stuff. So
we have
to do it now.
Yeah. But anyways, I'm trying to think thinking back to yesterday, you were here, right, Daniel?
Oh, I was here. Yeah,
I was here. Okay. We talked about what kind of lots of fun stuff. Were you here?
Okay. No, I wasn't here.
Oh.
I was at a Christmas concert for my daughter, and they crushed it.
This isn't awkward, is it?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
That's all right. It's just, I chose family, but, that's cool. Keep piling on.
I love you.
Piling on.
I love it.
You ever heard of Wally Pipp, Mike?
Yeah, but who did I get Wally Pipp by?
Nobody, and that's the part that's even worse. That's
empty chair. I've been replaced by empty chair.
The dulcet tones of the empty chair just Wally Pipped you.
Well, you know what's funny about that concert is the kids went up, there was the whole third grade at Chapman School, and they did... five songs or so. And then they were like, okay, all the kids turn around and they put the lyrics to all the famous Christmas songs up on the screen. And they wanted the parents to sing. And they did like 9 consecutive songs.
9 songs?
Yeah. So they just kept us singing. And we
let's go.
Yeah, it was just over and over.
Do you have enough left in your vocal cords to make it through today's show?
I'm struggling a little. I'm going to try. If I just start singing though, like Jingle Bell Rock.
I played through a sore neck yesterday. Did you listen to the show or no?
No.
Okay, got it. Nice to hear that you support the show. No big deal. I played through a sore neck yesterday. Thanks for asking how it's doing today. And you're playing through sore vocal cords. So,
how about you?
No, I'm good.
No, he's good. Tomorrow 100%. He'll be
heard. Yeah, I'm 100%.
But again, we are some call us warriors, other call us gladiators. Some think of us as titans and Iron Men. So, no big deal. But that's kind of what we do here at the 06010.
That's sort of what it is, Mike.
Well, I'll try to bounce back today and take my job back from empty chair. And we'll see how it goes. I'm basically Zach Wilson. Right? I'm trying to take my job back.
Oh, man.
What a good full circle. All right, let's move ahead. We're going to talk about a Thursday night preview. And then we're going to preview a ton of games that we have on Saturday. Friday is going to be the same thing. We're just going to be doing more previews as we head into the Saturday games and the Sunday games and Monday Night Football. So,
And by the way, super important week because of the weather. We're going to talk about a lot of weather implications.
So much weather.
There's 3 games that stand out with major, major concerns. And I think we're going to talk about all them today.
Honestly, maybe more.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe more. Because
there's 3 that really stand out.
Yep, I agree.
There's others that we have to monitor. Yeah, sure.
Every game makes you a little bit nervous. Yeah. We'll dive into the games that are specifically making us nervous. But let's just begin with the Jaguars and the Jets, Dan.
Let's do it. Thursday night preview.
This is one of them.
All right, lineup locks for this game include Travis Etienne, Christian Kirk, Evan Ingram, and Garrett Wilson.
And we need to talk about that.
Yeah, because, let's do the injuries, and then we'll do the we'll go locks, injuries, weather. And go from there. How about that?
Right. My point is Kirk and Wilson.
Yeah, we'll talk about
Ingram
them.
Might not be, so we'll get into that in a second.
Yeah, when you hear us say lineup locks, it's like assuming it's not like the worst conditions ever. Yeah. So we'll discuss whether these are the worst conditions ever after. But injuries, I think it's important to note. Trevor Lawrence, questionable. He's going to play, obviously.
Yeah.
Ladanian Knight for the Jets is an ankle injury. Sounds like he's good to go. And then Corey Davis off the injury report for the Jets. He's expected to play on Thursday night. Might mean a diminished role for Elijah Moore. But now let's talk about the weather.
Mm-hmm.
Because at last check, and Mike and I and Daniel were looking at this just before the show, according to Dark Sky, which I'm going to miss you so much when you are no longer in effect as of January 1st, 2023. It's going away. No fun. But I have MetLife Stadium pulled up, and one thing it won't be today is cold. The problem is everything else. Mm-hmm. It is going to be, well, I guess actually pretty cold still.
Above freezing.
Which, yes, it is.
Relatively speaking, it's a hot game for this week.
Yep, from basically 3 p.m. until 5 a.m. It is supposed to be pouring in New York. Precipitation rate at the start of the game is around 0.08 inches per hour. It gets up to 0.13 by about halftime, so it's going to be raining.
I have it projected at 1.2, but go ahead.
Yeah, okay, 0.12. It will be very fast for going. Yeah, that would be very, very fast. Wind is expected to be gusting at around 40 miles per hour per kickoff. So the wind itself would be about 16, but it'll be 40 miles per hour in terms of the wind gust. It is sounds like just absolutely the wrong conditions to be throwing the football tonight in a game in which we have one of the hottest quarterbacks in the NFL right now. So let's just ask it. Like, does this impact the Jaguars pass catchers for you or maybe even Trevor Lawrence?
Absolutely. Look, in assuming normal conditions, I have Lawrence at 11. You're at 12 field. Daniel, you're at 10.
Yep.
So we're already looking at him as a borderline starter because of the matchup, right? The Jets have allowed the fourth fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks over the last 8 weeks, right? So we're already downgrading him for that. And now you're telling me he might not be able to throw the ball. I mean, he might drop back to pass and the wind might be so heavy that he has to pull it down, or they just keep running and running and running. We've seen games like this before, and it can be a disaster for passing games. So I have major concerns. I would not want to count on Lawrence as of now unless the weather drastically changes, which it's not going to, right? I mean, the forecast is just overwhelming. Downgrading him, I don't want to start him. He's probably more of a back-end QB2 at this point, which we'll adjust, obviously, on the fly today. Kirk, usually a lineup lock.
No longer.
Zay Jones, top 20 receiver this season after his big game. I wouldn't feel great starting them. I wouldn't. They're maybe flex options, but you could probably do better.
Let me ask you this, Daniel. See if you're cool with this plan. So when weather is impactful, I don't always love to just say like, well, in my team, I'm doing this because it's usually pretty nuanced. And what is happening in my league may be very different than what's happening in leagues on average. But this actually might be a fairly relevant show that if we are in a matchup where we have one of these players, we can walk through some of the options that we are considering on our own. Because you were just talking about, like, you do have Trevor Lawrence in the Dynasty League. What is the dilemma you're facing, and who are you or what are the other options you have, and where is your mindset as of 10:05 Eastern time?
My other best option is Russell Wilson, a quarterback who was supposed to be my quarterback for the season this year. That didn't go well. But, you know, I'm going to have to go that direction. Like, I don't want to. I feel like there's no ceiling there, obviously, but there's a real concern that Lawrence attempts 9 passes in this game, you know? I don't think I can start him. I don't think I can. I'm going to start Wilson.
Mine is Dak Prescott. I drafted Dak Prescott to be my starter or Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, well, so, and right now, you're saying I'm going Dak. Yeah. And then on my front, like, I have a league with Zay Jones as a wide receiver, and I'm going to pivot to DJ Moore as of right now, which I know it's a good matchup and still, so it's
a
good
problem. You guys are like sitting in the good life here.
No. But, like, you know, it's not like DJ Moore has been lighting the world. He's not the reason why I made it to the playoffs, to say that much, right?
I think this is really interesting, Field, because what you're saying is, I look at Trevor Lawrence. He was a top 5 quarterback in 3 of the last 4 weeks. And Zay Jones was a top 5 or top 10.
3 touchdowns last week.
Wide receiver in 4 of the last 5 weeks. This is like the perfect scenario of, this is not don't get cute. This is there are things happening in this game that you just will not be able to forecast. And it's a different kind of setup. Because the talk about benching guys leading into the playoffs that have done that for your roster is a huge thing to do. But what are you going
to
do about it?
And also, not to be overlooked, and I think it's probably understood, the Jets defense is nasty.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? Really, so, like, even if it was perfect conditions out there, you'd be lowering your expectations for all Jaguars players. Mike wrote about the Jaguars wide receivers being downgraded a bit because of the matchup and wide receiver cornerback matchup. So I do think there's a chance that this is a lower scoring game, even if, like, you know, it turns out we've got rainbows and sunshine at the time the kickoff takes place, which certainly won't happen. But it makes me nervous, man. And it's the trickiest week because it's not like this is an isolated situation where this is the only bad weather game. Like, you may be like, my other quarterback is Deshaun Watson. And it's like, okay, well, you want to play with 50 mile an hour winds on Saturday in Cleveland? Like, no, you might have to take the lesser of the two evils weather-wise. So it's a tough one here. But yes, expect to put a pin in it all. Like, expectations are certainly downgraded for Trevor Lawrence and all the pass catchers in Jacksonville that we have been starting, and Garrett Wilson as well.
And Garrett Wilson. I'm going to assume, Mike, not just in this game across the board, but we'll focus here, that we're just going to see fewer pass attempts this week, increased running game. And so with that, slight boost in running back value potentially? Do you see Bam Knight or Travis Etienne? Are they, you know, in the same spots that they would be here?
Yeah, we've seen Jacksonville kind of commit to Etienne as a runner, right? Yep. We thought it would be more of a like Kamara workload where it was like maybe half the carries and substantial number of targets. Hasn't really had, you know, if they need to give him 25 carries, they've done that, right? Yep. So I think you'll see them just call more runs. It's going to be good for Etienne. You're still feeling fine about him. And then as for the Jets, I mean, Bam Knight was outsnapped by Michael Carter last week, and a lot of that was in passing situations where he just clearly blew him away in terms of pass routes and targets. This week, it's could be, again, a 25-carry game for Bam Knight, so I feel better about him. So Knight can be started. Etienne, obviously, you're starting. That's all you feel good about. Yeah. I don't know who else you would really feel good. You know, Garrett Wilson, we're in a downgrade along with Christian Kirk and Zay Jones. I mean,
yeah. No, I think it's important to also mention, like, I think it's, in this case, it actually is worth mentioning, like, the personal tie, because if Trevor Lawrence somehow throws for 300 yards and two touchdowns tonight, and you're out there on Twitter and you're thinking about, like, clapping back at us, like, just know that it's impacting us as well here, yeah. Right? Like, we are putting our money where our mouth is and making our lineup adjustments as well. Unless, again, Jim Cantore pops up on our screen later and is like, hey, good news. Like, we've got, 70-degree weather coming to East Rutherford, New Jersey tonight, which won't be happening.
And keep an eye on it up until the game. You know, if the wind forecast, that's a big one. The wind's always big for me. And look, we don't talk about weather on the show a lot because we don't overreact to this stuff. A lot of time you're just like, oh, it's going to rain or snow. And people are like, should I not start? And we get questions like that all the time. Normally it's like, no, unless there's heavy winds, we're not worried about it. But if it's pouring down rain like this and it's, wind gusts of 40 miles an hour, you have to be ready for that. And I think the best example of this is the Bills game, Bills Patriots last year.
Yeah.
Where, what was it? The Patriots called like,
Three passes.
Now, won't be that extreme, most likely, in this game, but it could be if the weather is really horrific.
We are in a national weather crisis right now. I've been getting a million different alerts. It's the coldest Christmas in at least 40 years across the country. Like, Colorado, which is where my in-laws are, like, they live, like, it's negative 30 degrees right now in Denver. Negative 30. Wow. Like, even if it's not windy, which, by the way, when it gets to negative 30, that's because there is some wind. But even if it's not super windy, like, it's just miserable to play in that kind of weather. So you should expect that this looks like a different weekend than I think other weekends have traditionally in the NFL.
And the teams know this tonight, right? Oh, like, they're planning, right now they're adjusting their game plan to run the ball as much as they possibly can and win that way.
And by the way, the 37.5 over-under kind of reflects it as well. It's a low total, not the lowest of the week, but there is, it's a lower total than you would expect with a team that includes Trevor Lawrence under center.
Who are you taking in this game, Field Yates?
I tell you what, I am reluctant to have to make a pick. I will go with the Jets because I think defense wins here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I will go Jets 2017.
Wow, that's a lot of points.
I know. Well, 37.5 is the over-under.
Yeah, so I had it. I mean, I had a 20-20. That was assuming normal conditions. Yeah. So it was basically a washout.
You could see, like,
I would
a
lean
defensive.
Jacksonville because they're playing so well, but now it might be 10-10. 10-9.
I'll say
10-9 Jags.
Jaguars, 10-9.
I'm taking them.
I'm thinking a defensive touchdown or something sloppy.
The Jags have the division in their grasp. I mean, the Titans, probably without Tannehill for the rest of the season, they're one game ahead. They play in week 18. This is a huge game for them if they can win this.
Oh, and by the way, you know Tennessee plays next week?
Who's next week?
Somebody. I think it's somebody good, though. I'm pretty sure it's, like, not a cakewalk team.
And they might lose this week, the way Houston's been playing the last 2 weeks. I mean, we'll see.
I'm going to take the Jets.
Okay, nice call.
10-3.
All right.
Oh, God. The Jets have already won one game. I've already lost a game 10-3 this season, so I guess it is possible.
Here's a question, though. Kickers in this game. You can't play kickers if you got to go through all these games too and see who your kicker.
Yeah, there again.
Like what the matchups look like.
Three games with major win concerns for me, and we're going to talk about it. I think this one is one.
We don't usually. I've already added kickers,
I'm just saying. Like, I've added the kicker in all leagues that plays either indoors or in Florida this weekend.
Yep. Yeah,
that's been my decision.
Definitely keep an eye on that. By the way, the other games which we'll get to, it's the Bears and the Bills and the Browns and the who are they playing?
Browns and the Ravens.
Saints.
Yep, and the Saints. Right. So those are the ones with the highest concerns right now.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff, Daniel.
Next up, let's talk Falcons at Ravens. Lineup locks for this game include reluctantly starting Mark Andrews.
Yep, reluctantly is the keyword.
Reluctantly is the keyword, and honestly, that is the only lineup lock for this game. There is nobody else here that you can feel confident in, and you don't even really feel that confident in Mark Andrews. We had a ton of questions in chat. Kyle Soppy let us know that chat has been blowing up with managers that have Mark Andrews saying, do I have to start him here in the playoffs?
I just don't know where you turn instead.
That's right.
Right? Like, if you had added an Evan Engram recently off of waivers, like, I could understand that decision. I still wouldn't necessarily feel totally at ease given the weather we just talked about today. New York, right? But I don't know how you'd, I don't know who it would be. That's a big question mark for me. So I am. He's ranked number two in my tight end rankings. Mm-hmm. How's that?
And yeah. He keeps going down. Like he keeps his projection yes. keeps dropping every yeah. week. And but he was still so far. It's like Kelsey's way up at the roof, and then Andrew's kind of in the middle, and everyone else is like down here. And Andrew's is coming closer to these other guys, like Hawkinson's, I think, 1 point behind him in the projections, but he's still there. And the reason is his target share is still pretty good. He has six or more targets in five straight games since their bye. No Lamar hurts for sure. Yeah. But again, it's just he's too good and he can score two touchdowns at any given point.
It just
most guys can't do.
It just feels like, and this could be famous last words, it feels like there was a time at the beginning of the season or coming into the season where you would have thought that Mark Andrews would be the best player on your team in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And instead, he is a player that you are playing because you have to, not because you want to. But yeah. I really don't know how many other tight ends were like reasonably added off the waiver wire where you could say to yourself, like, yeah, I'm playing that guy over Mark Andrews. Like, even if you played in the league where Darren Waller had been dropped because he was on IR for so long. Yeah. Or Juwan Johnson, like, that's fine. But there was a game 2 weeks ago where Juwan Johnson had zero catches.
That was two weeks ago. He had this big game the week before. He had two targets, zero catches.
Zero for zero. So, and I think it's also really important to note, we don't know who's playing quarterback on Saturday for the Ravens. Lamar Jackson's still not practicing. Certainly showing the potential of him to not play at all. And then Tyler Huntley's been added to the injury report. Keep in mind that the Ravens have Anthony Brown as the next man up. He was a guy, you guys know, maybe know, I'm a Boston College football fan. Mm-hmm. Had our
ups and downs.
Struggles.
Yeah.
More downs than ups, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But Anthony Brown, like, this was a guy who like wasn't even like great at Boston College. Like, mm-hmm. I wanted him to be great. And now he's going to potentially be an NFL starting mm-hmm. quarterback mm-hmm. on Saturday. That should make you a bit nervous for Mark Andrews and every Ravens pass catcher in a matchup that I don't know that it scares you. It's also going to be very cold there, like bitterly cold, not like super rainy or super windy, but still, it's going to be a miserable day outside. This could be a lot. It could be a lot of games where it's just like just ground and pound.
Yeah, is this going to be one of those J.K. Dobbins type games, Mike?
Been back to back weeks.
Yeah, it might be. He's been good. 14 or more touches, 120 plus yards, and 13 plus fantasy points in both games.
Yeah,
he's coming back from
his fresh
injury
legs really help, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And we know what a great athlete he is. He just keeps getting faster every week. And I think he tweeted about that, right?
Yeah,
the speed's still coming back, and he's going to get to that point with the long runs, but. You know, the red flag here is what the red flag always is with Ravens running backs. He has one target in his last four games. He's just not used in that department. So that's going to limit his ceiling. That's why, despite two good games on the ground, we still have him ranked outside our top 20. They're going to run it a lot, but he's still probably going to play 45% of the snaps, and Gus Edwards will get some run and Justice Hill a little bit. So, you know, again, limited ceiling, but he's a borderline RB2.
It's frustrating because it's like back-to-back weeks. Like if I just told you the snap count, you'd be like, I don't know if I'm really playing that guy. But he is running his tail off right now.
So maybe 8 yards per carry or something.
And maybe it's because he is, you know, healthy and fresher than the rest of the league right now because he didn't play for a big chunk of the early portion of this season. Maybe it's just because he's so talented, which is definitely the case. But he has, what, one catch, as you said? Like one catch?
One target
over two games. So there are some warning signs here that like if the Falcons buck up on run defense, it could be a lower day for J.K. Dobbins. Mm-hmm.
None of us are starting any Atlanta Falcons, but Desmond Ridder did start for them last week. I'm just curious if you thought this team looked any better with Ridder under, or did they look at least like the same Falcons? Did they take a step back?
There's only one good thing that I liked.
Yes, I know.
12 targets for Drake.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, 2 weeks in a row now. Yeah. He's had, what is it? He had 11 the week before, right? So that's good. But at least they're like finally like,
yeah.
You know, we took this guy in the top 10.
We should make him the ball
as often as we possibly can. Keep that going.
The only thing that I would just say that, like, I was happy about the 12 targets for Drake London. I also, even if he's imperfect, I think I kind of understand why Marcus Mariota was playing all this time, right? Like, rough day for Desmond Ridder. Probably nowhere to go but up. And up could include to the NFC South champion level because they're still very much in the mix for this division. But I would prefer not to play any Falcon on Saturday.
If you had to start one of these running backs, we watched Tyler Allgeier crush it last week. Are you taking him or are you taking Cordero Patterson in this run heavy?
I'm going to go Patterson. He did have 15 touches and a touchdown last week, which is a point in the right direction. He hasn't had 12 and a half fantasy points in a game in five straight. So that's a little bit of a concern and why you want to avoid a backfield using three guys. I know Caleb Huntley's out for the season now, but he was barely playing. It was kind of weaned down to three guys. As for Allgeier, I'll say this. Look, coming off a huge game, it's going to be tempting to start him after he had 139 yards and a touchdown in that game. But in the four games prior, and again, he was playing the same role. Snap share-wise, it was pretty much the same. The four games prior, he was in the 9 to 11 touch range and under 8 fantasy points in all of them. much like Dobbins, 2 targets in his last 4 games. And by the way, he does most of his damage on the ground. Ravens 3.8 yards per carry. That is to running backs. That's 5th lowest, right? So they're very good against the run. That's his role. He had a spike game. That's fine, but he hasn't been very good.
But
so
it's more of a spike game.
I need more than this. Yeah. I need more big games before I'm starting Tyler Allgeier.
All right, that's fair. Let's move ahead. Talk Lions at Panthers.
Just to interrupt, we're going to preview it tomorrow in full, but just moments ago, Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni did say he does not expect Jalen Hurts to play on Saturday, which is where the things were trending. There was a column that went up yesterday from Dan Graziano and Jeremy Fowler, and Graz floated the possibility he doesn't play for 2 straight weeks. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is a multi-week injury for Jalen Hurts, not guaranteeing it, but it's going to be at least 1 week. And the sad trombone you hear in the background of this podcast is all those fantasy lineups that had Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, Minshew. People starting him over Watson and now Lawrence and guys like that.
Yeah,
this
I would
week,
be.
No
yeah.
doubt. Of course, yeah.
Weather, not an issue. Good player, good offensive line, great pass catchers.
By the way, Tuesday we did a deep dive on that too.
Yeah,
we're going to talk through Minshew and the Hurts impact on that offense Tuesday show.
Okay. Lions at Panthers here. Lineup blocks for this one. We've had some surprisingly sparse.
Yeah, but this is the weather impact, right?
Amon-Ra St. Brown is the only one that is here. The Panthers, you're not starting anyone from the Panthers. And for the Lions, you're talking about the other running backs. I mean, what is it that you're doing between these two guys? So let's start there with DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams and have things changed at all again from what we've seen the last couple of weeks.
You know what? I have grown very accustomed to over the years listening to Mike Clay's advice very, very, very closely and trying to not disagree with him unless I feel very strongly about it. Sure. And I don't know that 8 spots difference is a massive disagreement.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
DeAndre Swift and I... I'm on the outs here. Yeah. Like I'm at running back 24 because I just don't know what I can predict from this player. So having him as, you know, a top 15 or 16 play, which I think would imply borderline lineup lock, just didn't feel right to me. So I moved him down to RB 24 in this matchup, which it's not that I'm scared of the matchup necessarily. I just don't have any idea whether he's going to play 25 snaps or every single snap for the Lions on Sunday.
Yeah, Saturday, well, I mean, he's been 6 straight games. He's been in the 31 to 38% snap share range, right? So he's kind of, that's not a big number at all, but he had 8 carries and 9 targets last week in 2 of his last 3 games. We're really good. 75 or more yards and 12 and a half fantasy points in 2 of the 3. Not a huge number by any means, but for me, it's enough in this matchup. A pretty good matchup. Carolina hasn't been great against running backs. And 9 targets last week. I mean, in PPR, it's enough to make him a mid-range RB2 for me. So, you know, I got burned by him bad in DFS a couple weeks ago. It stings a little bit, but, you know, he's such a good player. Great offensive line in front of him. Huge passing game usage. It's enough for me that I'm okay starting him.
I have him as running back 19. He's a low-end RB2, high-end flex play for us this week, in part because, again, with all the weather games this week, if there's anything, and I don't know, maybe there's not going to be any wind here in Carolina, but...
Cold. Very cold. Coldest game in Carolina Panthers home history. So I'm sorry to be a broken record, but every stadium it applies. Every single stadium it applies.
Jamal Williams is outside of the top 30 at running backs for us. And that's just, it feels hard to be able to trust starting him at this point, in spite of everything that was awesome that he helped you here.
Say the stat.
Under 12 fantasy points, 6 of his last 7 games. And that's with all them touchdowns. Think about all, he was 14 touchdowns this year.
15.
He gets the 6 points for the touchdown, and that's like it. He gets a few more points. He just can't really get to double digits a lot.
Less so this year than I think previous years, but there have been years in the past where you're like, that's a guy. That guy's great in non-PPR. I'm not sure Jamal Williams is great, but he definitely is much better in non-PPR than he is in PPR because he hasn't caught a pass since week 8. That's hilarious, though.
That's the way that
he's awesome.
He's awesome.
That's the way that we look at these Panthers running backs, too, though. Like, Deonta Foreman is... not catching passes at all. Chuba Hubbard is the only one that sort of catching passes.
He doesn't catch passes at all, Deonta Foreman. And he had 10 carries for 9 yards last week. 10 for 9.
It's rough. I don't want to use either guy because we talk about vaunted run defenses in the NFL right now. It's the 49ers. And it's the Detroit Lions who you cannot do anything against them. Check this out. They haven't allowed, I'm kind of picking up where you left off.
Yeah.
The past few weeks, Lions have not allowed a running back to score 10 fantasy points since week 7.
That's crazy, right?
No
crazy.
Double digit performances from a running back against him.
It's
week
crazy.
7.
Yeah, and it's nuts.
And it's not a bunch of scrubs either.
No, it's not at all. And the last team to do it was actually the Cowboys. Both running backs got there. Zeke and Pollard since then shutting it down. Fewest running back fantasy points allowed over the last 8 weeks. I don't want either guy. I mean, it's a committee. And it's actually 3 guys because Raheem Blackshear is playing as well.
That's right. Yeah.
I do not want to touch any of these guys.
Daniel, how many Pro Bowlers did the Lions get? Just one?
Oh.
Frank Ragnow? Just one?
I think it was just Frank Ragnow. Taylor Decker, I think, is a fifth alternate. He didn't seem to be pleased about that.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Would the Eagles have 8 and 9 alternates?
Wow.
Literally. Yeah.
Like 9.
I'm not a big Pro Bowl snubs guy in general, but there were a couple that I would have liked to see get that nod. I thought that Sun Guy probably would be.
Amon-Ra St. Brown should have been
close to the top of players that I think deserves to be a Pro Bowl wide receiver.
That's
tough. Obviously, Justin Jefferson's going to make it, right? There are some really excellent. AJ Brown's an excellent receiver. There are some awesome players that are very much deserving. Christian McCaffrey, probably the top of the list, though, in terms of snubs for the Pro Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one's tough. Mm-hmm. That
Austin
really
Eckler
tough.
Still hasn't made the Pro Bowl either, which, you know, it's like Josh Jacobs, Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb. Who are you taking off? I think I would make a case for Eckler over Nick Chubb this year.
Yeah, I agree.
Because Chubb has kind of tapered off of late. But this is part of the reason why I don't love the Pro Bowl snub debate is that, you have to take somebody off.
Yes.
And you don't want to do that.
Yeah, if someone made it, they deserve it, but... Well, you can make the case someone deserved it a little more, but it's still...
It seems like the biggest, the most divisive pick so far has been T.J. Watt, who's an incredible player, right? But he's only played 7 games, has 4 sacks. So people are bummed out there that other players didn't get that nod. Yeah. But my general rule of thumb is when it comes to debating the awesomeness of T.J. Watt, I don't ever bet. He's just so
good.
You don't
bet against it.
He could play one game, and I'd be defensive player of the year candidate, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
right?
It's that conversation or the debate. Do you want the best players there, or do you want the best? Is it just based on production this season, right? And you can, I guess, it's a mix of both.
Really good spot here for DJ Moore, Mike, to remind the masses, right?
Really Lions can stop the run; they cannot stop the pass. As you know, we do one thing well, we do not do the other. Yes, third most fantasy points to receivers, most over the last month. You know, they're still trying to figure out that personnel. They've kind of settled in a little with Okuda and Jacobs and Will Harris in the slot, but it's just not something they can do, and teams don't want to run against them anymore. So. Yep.
Yeah.
Good matchup for Moore. And by the way, 2 of 3 games with Sam Darnold, 18 plus fantasy points. So he's trending up. You know, you have him in your lineup. You're feeling good.
Let's go.
About him right now.
Certainly given up at least 16 fantasy points to 8 straight teams where the wide receiver one has at least hit that mark.
Okay. Feel better about that one?
Yeah.
Seahawks at Chiefs. Update here. Seahawks at Chiefs. Geno Smith, Kenneth Walker, DK Metcalf, Patrick Mahomes, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Travis Kelce. But
that's probably what it is. Is that a lot of the good players this week are saturated? You've got two opponents going back and forth at each other.
We have some injury updates though here.
We do. Yeah.
Say there's one game that has no lineup locks this week. A little foreshadowing.
Really? Oh, that's going to be fun. Yeah,
not ideal. But this game has plenty of them, Daniel. And that does not include one player who's not going to play. That is Tyler Lockett. Stefania passes along. There is a chance he could play in week 17 after having surgery on that finger. So don't rule him out yet for week 17. They play the Jets. Won't be a great matchup. But still, obviously a very, very good player. And then I have my eyes on Kenneth Walker III.
Yeah.
Back-to-back days with missed practice because of that ankle injury. Mm-hmm. And I have to, I should have done this beforehand, but Pete Carroll had some interesting comments at the beginning of the week that didn't necessarily make you think that he is absolutely going to play. They're just going to manage him throughout the week. In the event that Kenneth Walker III does not play, I don't know that I can trust any Seahawks running back. The counterpoint that I'm going to make, though, for Kenneth Walker is they did release Tony Jones yesterday. So they waived Tony Jones, so one less player in the backfield. My thought, though, Mike, is that maybe they just feel hey, we have Kenneth Walker. If we don't have him available, we'll go DJ Dallas and we'll go Travis Homer. And do they have Wayne Gallman? I think they might have released him from
practice squad, Tony Jones could go back to the practice squad and still get activated.
That's true.
I mean,
you could easily have him back.
Certainly bring him back.
Isn't Marshawn Lynch just all-time running back
definitely
there?
It's hanging out.
Yes, of course.
Let's keep an eye on that Kenneth Walker injury just in of case. Course. It sounds like there's at least a chance he will be out, but we'll find out more later on today. That's the good news. You have, obviously, today. You should get the normal Friday injury report on a Thursday.
So with that being said, can I ask quickly about the Seahawks? We basically listed everybody that you want to start then. There are no Seahawks left unless you want to throw a dart throw, I guess, at one of these other pass catchers with Tyler Lockett out.
Fant, who's obviously banged up right now, has been a little busier of late, but he's part of that tight end conundrum that we always speak about. And then Marquise Goodwin's kind of interesting, Mike, if you're in a deep league.
Yeah, no more than 6 targets in a game since week 11 of last season. That was my criticism of him earlier this year when there was some question marks with Metcalf's injury. But it's a great matchup. They're going to have to throw it a lot against the Chiefs. Yeah. They've allowed the most touchdowns and the 4th most fantasy points to receivers this season. So there is, to your point, some deep league appeal. I have him 45th in my ranking. Yeah. So we're talking 12-team league flexes if you're in a rough spot. But with Tyler Lockett out, I mean, that is a big target share. And I do think that they will move some of that to the tight end. So Noah Fant is a borderline tight end one. And if you're you know what? I am not messing with Evan Ingram in this weather or
something like that.
That's an option. And Will Dissly too. Will Dissly too. He's a great DFS value if he goes. You're exactly right.
No fan knee injury, back to back mispractices.
And if he's out, Will Dissly could see six or seven targets. Yep, so there's just keep an eye on that.
Somebody besides DK Metcalf will have a day for the Seahawks on Saturday.
Hopefully, DK Metcalf also has a day. Though.
Yeah, I'm saying on top of DK Metcalf alongside. It's supposed to be -10 degrees there. It's going to be freaking miserable. It's the driest, coldest cold you'll ever see. But got to play the game and should not be too windy or wet.
How about this super, super, super sleeper? You know, their number three receiver, I think, will be in this game.
Freddie Swain?
No. I mean, they have Penny Hart. Freddie Swain's on another team now. But
Dolphins.
Laquan Treadwell.
That's right. Guess on the 53-man roster.
I would not be surprised if he's third in line for them.
Oh, my God. So that would be crazy.
And remember him last year, the last month or so of the season with Atlanta? He was really good.
Yeah, he was super solid.
Yeah.
Last year with Jacksonville.
Or Jacksonville, excuse me. Right. He was in Atlanta. He bounced around a little bit.
He's well-traveled, is Laquan Treadwell.
Yeah, so he'll be involved.
You did not hear us say Jerick McKinnon in lineup locks. There's probably a reasonable case, though, for Jerick McKinnon, who has just been awesome. Over the past 3 weeks, he's been good. But over the past 2 weeks, he is the highest scoring player in fantasy. RB1 and then RB1, back-to-back finishes for Jerick McKinnon. And the secret sauce is that, obviously, he's an amazing pass catcher, and they're super efficient targets, right? It's like 15 catches on 17 targets. Basically, every ball that gets thrown his way is going to be caught. He's good after the catch. He's getting a bit more rushing upside as well, or a bit more rushing opportunities. I think the concern for Jerick McKinnon would be that, like, A, your expectations are too high because he's been the highest scoring running back in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah.
And if he gets to 12 fantasy points on Saturday, that's a reasonable total for Jerick McKinnon, even if it doesn't feel that way. And then two is that there haven't been Mecole Hardman, Kadarius Toney's hardly played, Mike. So how much does that impact the value here of Jerick McKinnon?
Yeah, and we expect Hardman back, and Kadarius Toney barely played last week. His role could increase here, so we'll keep an eye on that.
Right?
But yeah, 8+ targets is 4 of his last 7 for Jerick McKinnon. I think the largest concern here is that, I mean, first of all, remember, like, one of his biggest moments the last 2 weeks was that crazy play by Mahomes, where it was like, what, a 60-some-yard touchdown on like a little flip, right? So, and also before the two games, I think 12 was his highest fantasy output of the season, right? So he just kind of has spiked out of nowhere after playing this kind of modest role throughout the season. It is a good matchup. Seahawks second most yards, touchdowns, and fantasy points to running backs this season, so we do have him inside our top 20. But also, expecting elite high-end production from a running back who's in a committee with a guy, Isaiah Pacheco, of course. He has 15+ touches in 6 straight games. He's not going away. He's going to continue to play a big role. So I think there is a chance of a major return to earth for McKinnon here, but with the matchup and how well he's played, he's at least the top 20 play.
And that's the thing. A major return to earth doesn't mean you can't play him. It just means don't expect 32 fantasy points this week. No. But the idea of 12 or 15 is still going to be plenty for your fantasy roster, something to be able to look at. So both Isaiah Pacheco and Jerick McKinnon are potentially usable here this
week. Yeah, I would stick with Pacheco. Like I said, 15+ touches and 6 straight, 82+ yards in all of those games.
Seahawks run defense. Eesh.
Yeah, he's not getting much in the passing game, only 7 targets during those 6 games, which limits his upside a little. That's really why McKinnon has exploded the last couple of weeks. But there's enough there against this defense for both of these guys to finish as top 25 running back.
Yep.
Mike, there's only one wide receiver that we are trusting on a consistent basis here, and that's Juju Smith-Schuster. Juju Smith-Schuster makes the shadow report this week.
He does, and it's a tough matchup. Seahawks, third fewest fantasy points to receivers overall and to the perimeter. He's in the slot a lot. They've had the second fewest to the slot over the last 2 months. So it is a tough matchup, but Juju Smith-Schuster has his last 2 games caught 10 of 10 targets for 88 yards and caught 9 of 11 targets for 74 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
He was limited the 3 weeks prior, right? He had that injury. I think it was a concussion, and then they limited him. Before that, he was doing this too. I mean, he had, you know, I would say his last like 6 full games, he's given you good wide receiver 1 production. Mm-hmm. So even in a tough matchup, you're starting it.
Got a bunch of money he can make via incentives. He's about to make all of it with how he's played.
It's your time of the year, right? This is when you start tweeting out all the incentives. You ready?
You've been paying attention. Oh, yeah.
I've seen it. Yeah,
I got my document ready. Don't you
worry. You're ready to go? All right.
Yeah. I have a quick question that has nothing to do with fantasy.
Please.
7th round draft pick, Isaiah Pacheco. When you get signed as a 7th rounder, how long is your contract?
4 years. All drafted rookies.
Outside of that. First round
is 4 years or the 5th-year team option. Yep.
Okay. Yep.
So Pacheco,
undrafted,
very valuable
years,
player. Yeah. Undrafted is indeed 3 years. Yes, great call.
All right. Let's talk next game.
You go to restricted free agency and undrafted free agent. Yeah. So
that's a,
basically
that's an
a 4 years
cover.
Of team.
I was going to say that, but I was like, that's an offseason topic. Yeah. So.
Let's just dive into all the contract minutia. For the,
I just like when a seventh round rookie comes on, like Isaiah Pacheco is doing so well for himself and everything. And like he if he plays here towards the end of this season, think about how he can set himself up to be like a legitimate part of this Chiefs running game mm-hmm. for next year.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Already is, right?
Which would be amazing as a fantasy for us in fantasy. I think that's awesome. So. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about Saints at the Browns. Lineup blocks for this one include Alvin Kamara and Nick Chubb field. But what are the updates that we have on Nick Chubb? He missed practice yesterday.
Yep, missed practice for the second straight day. Again, the team continues to say hopeful on Nick Chubb. If he does not play, then you can just sub Nick Chubb out of the lineup blocks and put in Kareem Hunt instead. He'll be a very busy man for the Cleveland Browns. And this might be the most severe weather of the entire weekend. Mike has already mentioned it, but it's going to be cold as all get out. It's going to be extremely windy. The lake effect winds in Cleveland are no joke. It's going to be wet, cold, miserable, windy, you name it. Not ideal whatsoever for the Saints. Chris Olave missed his second straight day of practice because of a hamstring injury that popped up last week. Not ideal. So there's a possibility they won't have him. That being said, it's not like it's a game where we expect him to throw the football a whole bunch at all. Let's dive into the lineup blocks, though, because I want to say that Alvin Kamara obviously has been extremely frustrating and disappointing. Mm-hmm. If there were ever a matchup where if the Saints committed to the run and they could take advantage of it, this is it. I mean, the Browns have just been a really, really poor run defense throughout the season. So if you've been sitting there and saying to yourself, wait, Alvin Kamara, who has only scored in 1 week of this season, I really should be lineup blocking him. Maybe this is the week in which he gets unlocked because of that matchup against the Browns. The Saints did place a starting guard, Cesar Ruiz, on IR this week, which is not ideal, but they've actually been able to sort of figure it out along the offensive line for the most part over the years.
Is this one of those games where when we look at this outside of the running backs, because of the weather that could be happening here, we're trying to find ways to not start anyone else in these offenses?
Absolutely. Yeah. And my the two games I've adjusted so far in the projections and my ranks on the site are this one. And as I mentioned before, the Bills game, when I get home, I'll adjust the Jacksonville game. Now that we have more clarity on the weather for tonight. So it's already factored in. And like Chris Olave, at times we're ranking him like top 15. I mean, he's 33rd in my rankings. Yep. I mean, you almost don't want him to play, so you have an excuse to make sure you're not starting.
You don't even have
him.
To think about it. Yeah.
And he's not fully healthy. I would be trying to avoid Olave. Amari Cooper falls all the way down to 27 in my rankings. Don't feel great about it, but I mean, he sees such a high target, so you could justify it. Donovan Peoples-Jones, he's been awesome. Not ranked by me. He's outside my top 50. I'm not starting him. David Njoku down to 9. Often a lineup block. This week, not so much. If you have a similar option, most weeks you're probably going that direction because of these conditions. So again, like Cooper, I'd say like Cooper and Njoku initially I had as lineup blocks and I scratched them because of the weather.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, in that league that I was talking about earlier, you guys busted my chops where I have Zay Jones. I also have Amari Cooper. So that's part of the problem, too, is that, like, I could be down two wide receivers because of the weather this weekend.
How do you make that decision? Yeah, like, what if you choose
between those two? Yeah, I moved both of them out.
Okay.
Remember, his team is stacked top to bottom.
That's right. That is true.
He's like, I have to start Juju and Hopkins. And
I'm playing Justin Jefferson instead. So
Chris Godwin.
The funny part is I actually am playing. It's Chris Godwin, Juju, and DJ Moore now.
That's funny. That's a great wide receiving core.
Well, it's a league that we're in together, Daniel. Well, it's a keeper league. So this is Gasco, where it's keeper. So like there were teams that were not as likely to make the playoffs, who were incentivized to grab good contracts and trade away more bloated contracts for players that were closer to the expiration. So I did not like just knock my draft out of the park with like 8 great wide receivers. Like
he's starting Davis Mills at quarterback.
That's what it is.
His tight end is Jeff Swaim is his tight end.
Yeah,
Davis Mills is my backup quarterback.
That's hilarious. Pierre Strong. And, all right. So honestly, there's no one else to really talk about. We don't want to start anyone other than the running backs within this game. If you can help it, Mike, great input though on the wide receivers. Amari Cooper, really the only one that you're sort of looking at as a low end flex.
That's on the Brown side. And by the way, Deshaun Watson down to 16 for me. Yeah. He can add some value with his legs, which is going to save you, especially, you know, again, when we get to that Bills Bears game, same kind of thing. Like Josh Allen, Justin Fields justifiable because they run. Watson can do that a little bit, but also, he has 2 touchdowns in 3 games. Yeah. I mean, you're already worried about him.
Yep.
So I would be avoiding Deshaun Watson in these conditions for sure.
Are you avoiding Juwan Johnson or is he going to score touchdowns?
Yeah, so he's an interesting one. He's 16th in my rankings. 7 touchdowns in his last 7 games. That's the stat you're going to hear a lot. But the week before he had 0 catches, He had 67 yards last week. That was by far a season best. He's averaging four, even including last week, he's averaging 4.2 targets and 32 yards per game this season. So also, Brown's really good against tight ends. Bad conditions.
Yep, I'd fade.
No, I'm not in yet. I'm not in on Johnson. The touchdowns, we've talked about it all the time. They're hard to predict, right? And he could easily just disappear and get you a zero. He really could get you a zero. He has that floor.
Yeah, he does. 2 weeks ago, he gave you that.
Literally gave you a zero. Yeah. And he's done that before this season.
All right, this is one that Field and I have been really excited about to talk with you. Texans at Titans.
You talk to me about it?
Yeah. Okay. I'm excited to talk about all these games with you, Mike Clay. Yeah.
All right.
Well, these should be easy. These next three games should be quick.
Starting Derrick Henry, one of the reasons why Field and I were excited to talk with you about this is because yesterday, Field, and part of the reason probably why it was one of the best rated shows that we've ever done.
Yes.
This is because Field laid out why Derrick Henry is definitely going to have 200 rushing yards and two touchdowns because of the last four games he's had against the Texans. Yes. But your projections don't have that.
Oh, yeah. That's weird, right? I got to fix them. He's still the RB1 by
only
far.
Only 22.78. Yeah.
Why do you hate Derrick Henry this week?
I don't know. I hate him so much that he is locked into my DFS lineup. Foreshadowing for CSS
that's
DFS. Right. I'm in on Henry. I mean,
Derrick Henry's going to crush this week.
You can't. Look, there's no Ryan Tannehill, too. I'm very much worried about them putting 13 guys in the box. Yeah. They're on every play. He'll still probably get 180, but.
Would that be a better strategy for Houston, taking a 12 men on the field penalty every play as opposed to letting Derrick Henry run the ball?
Because then you're just giving up 5 yards at a time.
Yeah, 5 yards. I might take that. But yes, he is the only lineup lock because we have so many injured players in this game. Ryan Tannehill seems very unlikely to play on Saturday. He might not play for the rest of the season, so you could get a bunch of Malik Willis time. Treylon Burks has returned to practice for Tennessee. Unclear whether he has fully cleared concussion protocol. We'll have an update either later today or on Friday. Brandon Cooks was a full participant in practice yesterday. Mm-hmm. To the extent that you care about that, he should be available on Saturday. Nico Collins continues to not practice for the Texans. Sounds like he might be iffy to play on Saturday as well. But it's really Derrick Henry in this game. Everybody else is just sort of like, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, great receiver corner matchup here for Brandon Cooks and probably Chris Moore, assuming Nico Collins is still out. Titans, most fantasy points to receivers, most to the perimeter. Yeah. Terrible in every quarter category. Two of their top three corners have been out the last couple of weeks, Trey Avery and Christian Fulton, who's their number one. Obviously iffy for this week, so there could be some sleeper appeal there. Maybe you feel good about them as flex options. Chris Moore has 19 targets the last 2 weeks. Now, Cooks and Collins were out, but even if one of those two are out, which would be Collins, he's still going to see a lot of volume. So that's an option. But I will say this on the Tennessee side. When Malik Willis has made two starts already, he had zero touchdowns and he attempted 26 passes. Yeah. I mean, there's games where quarterbacks attempt 50 passes in one game.
He totaled
26.
So 13 between,
they were extremely run heavy. That's a big difference from when Ryan Tannehill's under center. That's going to be the plan here. As well, I'd be very, I don't think I have any receiver in the top like 60 for Tennessee.
And that's part of the reason why, if you look at the tight end ranks, you have Chigo Conquo all the way down to 25.
Exactly.
Who's been really good recently, but how can you play him?
That's exactly right. I had him around where you guys have him, like the 14 to 16 range. Once I pulled back on how much they're going to throw the ball, he just plummets. So you can't trust him in this circumstance.
Yikes. All right. That's tough. Let's move ahead. Last one here. Giants at Vikings.
Two games, but the last one's a very quick one as well. A lot of lineup blocks.
That's all lineup blocks.
Giants at Vikings. Lineup blocks include Saquon, Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, and TJ Hockenson. You know what I love about this game? It's played indoors.
Yes, love it. Absolutely love it.
I load up on this game.
Everybody from this game that I can that plays indoors.
Mm-hmm. All this cold we're talking about this week. Minnesota's like, that's like a Wednesday in December.
You're starting
like minus 20. Yeah, sounds about right.
I feel like all of these Vikings you're starting, and I'm looking at both of these quarterbacks, and with the way that we have some of these other quarterbacks that have plummeted, both Kirk Cousins and Daniel Jones, I think are positioned to potentially be starters. Mike, do you want to let's start with Daniel Jones. We'll start with the Giants.
Yeah, by the way, if you're thinking about these guys against like a Trevor Lawrence or Deshaun Watson, you're going this direction.
Right? Exactly. You're going indoors. You have the opportunity. Yeah.
For sure, you said Daniel Jones first?
Let's start with Daniel Jones. Yeah.
17 or more fantasy points, four of his last six, and we like the matchup. The Vikings have allowed at least 17 fantasy points to the opposing quarterback in five of their last six. Jones adds value with his legs. We know that he's been scoring at least occasionally through the air as of late. Not great receivers, obviously, but he's doing enough. He's doing enough to, for us to rank him in the top 10.
Sure is. I have him as quarterback 10 on my board, so I'm right there as well. And then Kirk Cousins, quarterback 8 for me. Mm-hmm. You know the volume is going to be there. He's had at least 30 completions in three of his past four games. Now, some of that's a bit quirky because they had the absolutely ridiculous game script last week, but this team has this team is just a good, efficient offense for the most part. 30-plus completions could definitely happen in a game in which they're not down by 33 points at halftime. So I've got Cousins as quarterback 8. The Giants continue to be without probably their best cornerback in Adoree Jackson, who's missed several games in a row right now. So if they can protect Kirk Cousins, he should have a good game.
If we like this matchup against the Vikings secondary for Daniel Jones, which one of these pass catchers in Darius Slayton or Isaiah Hodges or Richie James are you potentially trusting if you need to throw a dart this week, Mike?
It's Slayton. I'm going to stick with him. He did have 7 targets last week. I know it was a down game for the second week in a row. I was a little nervous about talking him back up last week coming off the Eagles game because Washington has been a lot better against receivers, and that did show up in the box score. But this is different, right? The Vikings aren't like playing better. They're atrocious against receivers. Most catches allowed to the position, the second most fantasy points, second most to the perimeter, which is where Slayton usually aligns. They're worse than both of those categories the last 8 weeks. They cannot stop wide receivers this season. So Slayton's 32nd on my board. And again, when you start factoring in weather, he looks even better. I think, Mike, that you can make a case to start him.
This is the perfect crystallization of the fantasy dilemma of this weekend. Someone reached out to me before the show and wants to know, do they bench Amari Cooper in favor of Darius Slayton?
And it's close. I have them close in the ranks.
And separate and apart from the two players involved, it is clearly superior player playing in absolutely dreadful elements with a quarterback who is not Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen versus the inferior overall player, but still a capable one, with a quarterback who is also not Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, playing with absolutely no weather concerns whatsoever. It's a coin flip. It's a coin flip. It's one of those where, like, if I had to estimate the average number of fantasy points that they score, maybe Amari Cooper scores like 1.5 on average, but if they played 100 times, Darius Slayton outscores him 40 out of the 100 times, or 45 out of the 100 times. It is the perfect encapsulation of this fantasy dilemma.
And you know what I'd do in that situation? I would wait till Sunday or Saturday.
Saturday. Right?
I'd wait till Saturday. I would see the latest forecast. Yep. If it's horrific, I'm going Slayton. Yeah. He's indoors at least. And he's been,
I'm the same way.
6 of his last 8 games, he's been fine. The 6 weeks prior to the last two, he was wide receiver 25, right? Which probably isn't far off where Cooper was, because especially lately.
Like, Cooper hasn't been lighting the world on fire. Right?
Exactly.
This is not like you're trying to decide, like, hey, do I sit DeAndre Hopkins? It's like, dude, D-Hop's going to get you 12 targets no matter what.
So right? I would say, look, if we get to Saturday and it's just like, you know what, the wind isn't that bad in Cleveland, it's going to be like 10 to 15 miles an hour instead of 40, then I'm like, all right, I'll just go Cooper. Yeah. But if it is going to be like tonight's forecast and it's 35, 40 mile an hour gusts, which is probably going to be, I'm going Darius Slayton.
Yep. What about on the other side of that? Adam Thielen, is he still getting enough volume to be in that consideration this week with all that wintry mix we're having?
I'm gonna use him. I have him 34th, but again, as we continue to adjust for the weather, I'm feeling better and better and better about him. Great matchup. I expect Fabian Moreau to shadow Justin Jefferson. He's been shadowing the past couple of weeks in place of Adoree Jackson, who's still out. Nick McCloud on the other side is struggling. Yeah. He was on Jahan Dotson last week throughout most of that game, and Jahan Dotson had a great game, just had no trouble getting by him, over 100 yards in the game. Giants, with all the personnel issues, 6 most fantasy points to receivers over the last 8 weeks, are struggling. It's a good matchup for Thielen. He looks like a good flex wide receiver 3, maybe a wide receiver 2 when all is said and done here.
Really quickly, that was in your wide receiver cornerback matchup article, which is available on ESPN Plus. Is that right, Mike?
It is. The Shadow Report is out there. And the one thing I adjust throughout the week is the cheat sheet, right? So as we get more information on injuries and stuff, I kind of update that a few times leading up to the game. So that's all there.
All right. Check out ESPN Plus for not just Field Pass, which is everything that we talk about here, Field, but also some of the stuff that Mike's does.
Let's do it.
Last game. Sorry, I jumped the gun on this one.
No, this is a fairly straightforward game, right? Bengals, you usually pretty kind of know what you're getting out of
lineup
these guys,
blocks,
right?
And then we're done.
Yeah, pretty much.
Lineup blocks for Bengals at Patriots include Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Ramondre Stevenson. Only injuries that we have here on this list, Field, Damian Harris, obviously.
Yep, sounds like he's got a chance to play on Saturday, but what do we know? Ramondre Stevenson just rules, right? He's so good. We were talking about it a couple of days ago, like, he didn't even catch. He had negative four receiving yards and absolutely smashed last weekend. So, and Hayden Hurst, who said he expects to play, another one of those tight ends. We'll see whether he does give it a go. Obviously, you'll know by 11:30 on Saturday morning. Hayden Hurst says, though, he expects to be back on the field. I don't think that really impacts any Bengals pass catcher, though. They kind of are what they are. Joe Mixon, he just want better volume. That's all from Joe Mixon. You want more volume and more snaps. We'll see whether he gets it on Saturday against the Patriots.
Are you starting any of these Patriots pass catchers? Jacoby Myers is the only one that we have even considered.
But he's fallen off.
Yeah,
big way. You know, the Patriot passing offense is just dreadful right now.
Yep.
Can't get anything going. They have yet to throw a fourth quarter passing touchdown. The only team in the league that has not done that, which is a remarkable stat for all the wrong reasons. So it's Ramondre Stevenson. That's it.
I'm with you. Just not under seven targets in five straight for Jacoby Myers. That's he was living on. Seeing 8, 9, 10, 11 targets, that has disappeared. So he's 39th on my board, and it's going to be cold there, too.
It's going to be cold. Weather's not quite as daunting there. But remember, that's a stadium that, especially right now, they're doing construction. Like, wind is always a big factor in that stadium because they got this big open side. They have one side where it's closed, and it's usually pretty easy to kick into. But they've got a big, it's one of the few stadiums that has an open side to it, which that basically just invites wind into the stadium.
So can I ask one quick question before we move on from all of this?
Sure. Yeah.
When you're looking at defenses for this week, do you look at defenses in these games where it's like it's going to be awful weather, so you expect lower points scored, out there and try and grab those defenses?
100%. And when I adjusted those two games, and I'll adjust Jets Jacksonville when I get back to my computer, those defenses moved up in the projections pretty high, and you'll see that. That's baked in my ranks and projections. There's that, and there's also a lot of backup quarterbacks in there, too. So that's another reason to upgrade some defenses this week. We're in that season, right? Yep. The final few weeks, a lot of backup quarterbacks.
So we want kickers indoors. We want defenses in bad weather games.
Yep. That's bad weather against guys, bad quarterbacks, right?
We're going to talk to Adam Schefter in just a second, but first, Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance?
Let's do it.
Love it.
Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help, like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV, even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today. And with that, we say happy belated birthday to Adam Schefter. Schefty, how was your birthday yesterday?
Not bad, Phil. We're another year older, so we'll just keep marching along. We're Lawrence Taylor now. That's the way it goes.
Oh, that's a great year then. Lawrence Taylor, the greatest defensive player in league history, at least in my estimation. And Schefty, you're a year wiser. You're a year more athletic. We saw the Lambeau Leap on Monday night.
Yes,
a successful Lambeau Leap at that. I'm going to start, Schefty, with what I think is the story of the week, not just in fantasy, but in the real football world as well, which is Jalen Hurts. You tweeted not long ago an update on Jalen Hurts. What's the latest for this week? And then what might be the latest going forward for Jalen Hurts?
Listen, this morning, Nick Sirianni, the Eagles head coach, said he expects that Jalen Hurts will not play and Gardner Minshew will be the starter on Saturday night. And I think this is the way it was going to go all week long. If you just look at it, Field, they have to win one of three remaining games to clinch the number one seed. Not only do they have to win just one, but the next 2 weeks are at home. So they have two home games. So if you can't win one home game to clinch the number one seed, then something's wrong. And I think that this is playing with house money this weekend with Gardner Minshew, who's a gamer, who will come out firing, who will come out and play pretty well, I expect. But then they have two home games, the Saints, and I think it's the Giants in the last week. And at that point in time, they've got to win one of those games. So you buy Jalen Hurts another week right now to get ready, to get healthy. And then if he's able to play next week, which we'll see, we don't know right now, then he comes back then. And worst case scenario, if Gardner Minshew plays the next 2 weeks and they don't win either, and all their opponents win everything they're supposed to, and you have to win the last game, well, then Jalen Hurts can step in the last home game of the season against the Giants and try to win that one for home field advantage.
Maybe I'm trying to reverse engineer it because I would certainly love to have Jalen Hurts in my lineup right now, but I'm preparing mentally for the possibility of him not being available until week 18 at the earliest just because of all the things you just laid out. Like, let's apply some common sense to the situation. Let's go to Arizona, Schefty. They play Christmas night. They play host to the Buccaneers. One of the few games where we don't have to worry about weather this week, which is glorious, but we do have a new quarterback. What is the latest on Arizona's depth chart under center?
Well, Colt McCoy is going to be out, and so Trace McSorley is going to start. They're down to their third-string quarterback. I was actually thinking about this morning. How many teams do you know that could be down to their third string quarterback and still be in contention for the number two seed in the NFC, which is an ode to the job that the 49ers have done this season with Brock Purdy stepping in, playing the last three games, and them still reeling off all these wins and being in first place in the NFC West. The Cardinals are now down to their third string quarterback, like the 49ers are, yeah. And it just feels a little bit more desperate. We don't know what we're going to get. Trace McSorley is a quarterback, runs around, makes things happen. I don't know that the passing game is going to thrive the way it would have if Kyler Murray or Colt McCoy were out there. So if you have a Cardinals receiver like DeAndre Hopkins or Marquise Brown, I don't know that you can realistically expect the type of production that you would have with one of those other two quarterbacks, but it's a different type of attack, and Trace McSorley is going to be the starting quarterback against Tom Brady and the Bucs this weekend. Yeah,
Tom Brady versus Trace McSorley. That sounds like a Christmas miracle in terms of starting quarterbacks in a matchup, Shefty. You mentioned we got a lot of teams down to their third-string quarterback. Not sure we'll get there, but at least the Baltimore Ravens are dealing with injuries to their top two quarterbacks. So Lamar Jackson hasn't practiced yet. Do we think we'll see Lamar today on the practice field or playing on Saturday? Because back-to-back misses makes me think like we could see yet another week of no Lamar.
And that's the guess and the expectation and the sense right now. No Lamar for another week. Now, this was the week that I believe that they were hoping. They thought he would be able to come back. But obviously, it's a PCL. That's a major injury. And it's not easy to bounce back from that. And so right now, yesterday, Tyler Huntley was limited with the shoulder injury. I think he'll be all right for Saturday. And I think Tyler Huntley will wind up quarterbacking this team over the weekend. I think he'll be the guy that steps in there. And they won't have to use Anthony Brown. Some people were wondering that yesterday, but it looks like Tyler Huntley right now is tracking to be available. I don't think we get Lamar this weekend, and so maybe they can get him back for the final 2 weeks. That would be the hope within the organization.
And then one more piece of quarterback news, Shefty, not because of injury, but the Colts have a new starting quarterback as well. What's going on there in Indy?
Listen, you know, I remember midway through the season, you forget that Nick Foles is even on the roster. It's like, Nick Foles, he's been there the whole time. Like, they're going with Matt Ryan and Sam Ehlinger, and what about Nick Foles, who's got a decorated resume? But I think they're looking for some kind of spark. They're an extreme long shot to make the postseason here. I think they're looking for that little jolt on Monday night against the Los Angeles Chargers, and I think everybody remembers the way the last week went for Indianapolis, and they're just thinking, you know what, maybe St. Nick can lead another Christmas miracle here and get the Colts to the playoffs somehow if they could find a way to win their last three games, get help. As unlikely as it is, we've seen Nick Foles do unlikely things on the football field, and I think that they think it's going to ignite their passing game a little bit, which should open up the running game, which is minus Jonathan Taylor for the remainder of the season. So, look, they're just trying to experiment and try different things because there's no Jonathan Taylor, and this season has not gone the way that many people in Indianapolis had thought or hoped.
Yeah, and there's really nowhere to go but up. With all, I mean, Matt Ryan, a world-class human and an NFL MVP and decorated that beyond description, maybe off Pro Football Hall of Famer one day. It hasn't been great. It wasn't great last week against Minnesota in a matchup in which you should have been able to move the football. They could not. They got their work done basically on defense and special teams. So, Shefty, all that stuff was great. Love talking football with you. Always do every single week. But I'm here to talk about the real business. And before I can talk about that, it's not too late to play fantasy basketball this season. You'll start fresh with a 0-0 record. You can play for free by creating your own league, or you can join an ESPN Plus league. Go to ESPN.com/fantasybasketball to sign up. You, the man who knows more about football and has more connections than anybody else in the entire world, is in love with fantasy basketball. What drew you to and what keeps you so enchanted by fantasy basketball?
Well, I think it's every night. And, you know, baseball seems like it's so long. And not to take away from anything from fantasy baseball, which I've never played, and I don't think I could do that because that would completely destroy my life. But fantasy basketball is just my diversion at night. It's just my little escape. Everybody's got a little hobby that they turn to. And that, I don't know, over the last 5 or 6 years is something that I have really developed a passion for, feel very strongly about NBA fantasy basketball, love it. It's a lot of fun. It's, you know what, it's like following the stock market or certain stocks, like certain players are going up and down. Yeah. You could see when a guy's about to take off. You could see when a guy is tanking. A lot of injury news in the NBA. These guys often sit out games, and that necessitates more lineup changes. And we've had our NBA War Room League here for, what, 4 or 5 years, roughly? Yeah. And it's been a lot of fun. Love doing it. And it's become I guess, my hobby, so to speak.
We are closing in on 2 million signups on ESPN for fantasy basketball. We'd love to see that number. Love to see us breeze past that number, Shefty. I think one of the things that people maybe are hesitant on, or why they might not have played fantasy basketball as of yet, is like, they think to themselves, you know, football's nice because you kind of have to worry about it like 3 or 4 times during the week, right? You do your lineups on Thursday, maybe again on Sunday, last minute alterations either during the day on Sunday, maybe Monday Night Football, and waivers, right? But is basketball too much work? Like, what can people reasonably expect in terms of managing a team during the day?
Well, you could put as much into it as you want. You know, I feel like I put a lot into it. You know, I'm tracking the guys on a nightly basis. You don't have to do that. You could kind of step back and set your lineup and move forward. Let me just say this. If you like fantasy football, I cannot endorse fantasy basketball any more than I can right here. It is just, it's glorious. I love it. And I feel like just like fantasy football has driven the popularity of football, I think fantasy basketball is doing some of that to basketball and will continue to grow and grow and grow as more and more people discover it. But again, love it. Can't endorse it more. Can't recommend enough people to try it. And I think they'll be very happy that they did.
On Fantasy Football Now on Sundays, Jeff Darlington, while his team was still alive, found a way to basically just talk smack to whoever he was playing against. Unsolicited, Shefty, would you like the opportunity, as your 8-1 per sources team is now facing off against, I think, Matt Harrington this week, right? Do you want to trash talk Matt Harrington right now, or do you want to bypass?
My team is beaten and battered. I've got 3 guys in IR. I've got other guys missing games. I'm not happy with it. It's been very disappointing. I need some guys to get healthy. But so I don't want to trash talk Matt Harrington. What I do want to do is I want to send a personal plea out to Tyrese Maxey. We need you back. Okay. I want to send a personal plea out to Andrew Wiggins. We need you back. I want to send a personal plea out to Cam Johnson. We need you back. I want to send a personal plea out to Terry Rozier. Wow. We need you back. Like, my guys are, they're hurting. And it's been like this for a few weeks. And when you got your 3 IR spots all filled up with guys and you've got no flexibility, it's frustrating. That's tough, Field. That's not my idea of a happy holiday.
Yeah, it is not, but it is still a wonderful activity, fantasy basketball is, and it gets you through. Like, what I like about fantasy basketball is that, like, it is your little fantasy, it's your cup of coffee for fantasy that extends beyond the football season. But if you're somebody who likes to enjoy your summer, like, it's an April, like, mid-April deadline. Like, you got it for the next 3-4 months, where if you live in a climate like you and I both do, Shefty, it's going to be cold, you're going to have a lot of snow. Not like you're going very far that often, right? You got 3.5 months about 3 months after the football season is over to focus in on your fantasy basketball squads. It is a blast. It's also been a great way to become even closer with some of our great ESPN colleagues here. And Shefty, your team is downright dynastic. Best of luck to Per Sources the rest of the way. And we'll talk to you again on Saturday, Shefty, for Fantasy Football Now. You'll have the latest on a bunch of key injuries and probably a weather report. Put on your Ginger Holy Z cow. Hat on Saturday morning, Shefty.
Oh, it's going to be cold. It's going to be wet tonight in New York for the Jaguars and the Cowboys. I've got one playoff decision I'd like to open up to the panel.
Yes,
I've got 2 decisions on a football consolation team. I've got 2 defenses, the Cowboys and the Jaguars.
Okay.
I've ridden the Cowboys all year long. They've been pretty good to me, although they've struggled lately. And I think they're due for a big game, by the way, this weekend, because they were getting criticized and questioned. They blew a big lead last week. It just feels like a Cowboys game. Except tonight in New York, it's going to be rainy. It's going to be cold. It's a short week. Like, would you go Jaguars over Cowboys, or would you go Cowboys over Jaguars? And then I have one other question after that. I just want to hear what everybody says there.
All right. I'll go Jaguars.
Okay.
Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's close. I'm just worried, like, if they're not throwing, are they going to generate turnovers in this game?
Maybe. It's supposed to be so wet. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
But they're just going to be running the ball between the tackles. Not many points allowed. Maybe not a, like, no chance of a touchdown. I'd probably stick with Dallas.
Okay, so Daniel breaks a tie.
I think I would go with Dallas against Gardner.
All right, 2-1. I got to
Here's the thing. I'd like to go with Jacksonville. I really would. But I'm going to hate myself for picking up a defense 2 weeks ago, playing it over the defense that got me here. Yeah. Not that I got very far, but that's the defense that I've kind of dated all year long. Last one, one flex spot. Got a lot of guys that I'm debating in a full point PPR. Ready? We got, right now the guy I got in there is Gus Edwards, because I think Baltimore's going to run the ball a lot this week.
Yep.
I also have Chris Moore, but Brandon Cooks is back. I also have Deion Jackson. I also have Chuba Hubbard. One guy in that spot, who would you put?
My instincts go right to Chris Moore.
Yeah, I think he's going to see a lot of targets. Yeah, Chris Moore, where it's going to be cold, but not like crazy windy or wet in Nashville on Saturday, Shefty. Great matchup, too, especially if Nico Collins remains out, which he hasn't practiced yet this week.
Yeah, he won't play, but Brandon Cooks will. So, I don't know. Here's the thing. Here's what I come back to. Who's going to get more touches of that group? And I think Gus Edwards of that group is going to get the most touches.
Yeah.
And so
I think there's more upside with Chris Moore. Because like Chris Moore could go 5 for 60 and outscore Gus Edwards, who could have like 19 carries for 73 yards and zero targets.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have Dobbins there. You have Justice Hill. And by the way, Carolina's playing your Lions.
Yes.
So you don't want to mess with that. I mean, the Lions, Adam, the Lions haven't allowed 10 fantasy points to a running back in 8 weeks.
8 weeks.
It was. Yeah. I mean, dominating running backs. And he's sharing the backfield.
That knocks out Chuba. That knocks out Chuba. I'm going to tell you right now, Gus Edwards is going to score a touchdown this week. I'm just telling you.
I have not made the decision.
And by the way, the reason I'm in the consolation round and not the playoffs is because I played Gus Edwards over DeAndre Swift in the week where Swift's usage suddenly climbed to 51%. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here after watching this all year long where he's getting 8-10 snaps?
It is fantasy is a cruel mistress, Shefty. That much is for sure. All right, well, we'll get an update on Saturday. We'll circle back and see where you landed on these, whether you decided to play the Jaguars tonight or not, and whether or not you're going to go with Gus Edwards come Saturday. But we always appreciate you joining us here on Fantasy Focus, Shefty. We'll talk to you again in a couple of days. Hope it was a great birthday, and thanks, as always, for making time for us.
Happy holidays, guys. We'll be in touch Saturday. Until then, Merry Christmas to all.
Thank you so much, Shefty. Always love having Shefty on the show. Can't wait to see on Saturday which direction he goes. Long shots are getting fun, too,
I've never done a Saturday fantasy football now before. This is going to be my first one.
This is, I think, only my second one. I think it's only the second one in the past 15 years. We had one way back in. It's always the calendar, right?
If the NFL
games are on Sunday, we do it on Saturdays.
So That'll be exciting.
Be great,
All right, that's going to wrap it up for Thursday.
Fun show.
We're going to be back tomorrow. Definitely. We still have more
three
games.
Three of us again, Rest of our previews.
Rest of our previews. We got a few more Saturday games and then the rest of our Sunday and our Monday game.
Let's go. Mm-hmm. Can't wait.
Let's do it. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. We love you. Don't forget to love each other. Please be kind to yourself. And we can't wait to see you guys on Friday. Good luck tonight in this Thursday night football matchup. Fingers crossed.
Go Jags. Let's go.
Go Jags.
10-3.
I thought the Jets. No, go Jets.
Oh, yeah, you did at the Jets. Yeah. Remember in the preseason, I was like, pick the Jags as my deep sleeper. And you and Mina and Woody just totally jumped on my case for 5 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah, and just laughed at me the whole time.
Pretty good.
Go Jags. Let's go.
Yeah, that was fun.
Playoffs.
Playoffs.
He's a NASCAR guy with a basement shrine, a Lakeford fan for life. Chargers are off to a terrible start, but that won't change his mind. Matching up all the cornerbacks. Touchdown regression and weekly stats. But if your team falls flat, he's the one to blame. He's a brave